Radio.com.
It's time for the most knowledgeable and informative show based around the world of professional wrestling.
Thought we weren't supposed to use that word anymore.
OWW Radio, with your host, Mr. Personality, Alan Wojcik.
It's not my fault I happen to be charismatic.
Along with the loudmouth assassin, the Spud Guy.
I just act that way to get chicks, dumbass.
The resident Aussie, Mace.
I am not going to lie to these people just because it makes them feel good.
Guest starring Kevin Scott as Jamal.
What it is, my nizzles, are y'all chilling for shit?
What?
It's time for OWW Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. Our number always is 267-297-1397. You can also Skype Sir Rockin'. That is the way to be a part of this program. Mace is here from Wrestle Talk Radio, Otaku Talk Live, Bashing the Books, the overall demigod of this group. If you are a professional wrestler and happen to be listening to us, first off, thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. And you've been going, I'm looking for work. I really need work. Our friends at Combat Zone Wrestling have sent this over. CZW is proud to announce that at this set of Wired TV tapings that'll be taking place, May 1st, wrestlers from around the world have a chance to become a CZW star. DJ Hyde is opening the doors for an open talent search. To have your chance of appearing on special Wired TV tapings, they ask that you send a photo of yourself, resume, video footage of matches that you have worked, all together, email it to DJ Hyde at CZW.com. That is C as in Charlie, Z as in Zebra, wrestling.com. DJ Hyde asks for serious inquiries only, that you have some prior experience inside the squared circle, and you must be able to appear on May 1st, otherwise your submission will be ignored. You must have this to that email address, djhyde@czwwrestling.com. by Monday, April the 25th. So good luck to everybody if you're interested in being a part of Combat Zone Wrestling. The 15th annual ECWA Super 8 is coming up. That will be on Saturday, April 30th. It will have video recording prohibited because they are going to be taping it, I believe, for a pay-per-view event. This year it will be at Flyers Skate Zone, which is at 601 Laurel Oak Road in Voorhees, New Jersey. Yes, like Jason Voorhees. The doors open at 2. Bell time is 3:45 p.m. In the tournament this year is Tommaso Ciampi, the Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup winner and CZW star, the new horror, Sammy Callahan, Adam Cole, who's worked for ROH, this is an interesting name if I've ever heard one from wrestling, Shockwave the Robot, 2010 Jeff Peterson Memorial Cup competitor, Rich Swan, beautiful Bobby Shields, Evolve star, Shima Zion, and also number 8 in the group, but number 1 in a lot of people's hearts, former ROH World Heavyweight Champion, Austin Aries. There are bonus matches involved as well. There is the first Super 8 champion ever, Ace Darling, taking on the 2008 Super 8 champion, Aiden Chambers. There is an 8-man ECWA versus TWA match. The current ECWA champion, the Greek god Papadon, who I've seen compete for NYWC. The ECWA Mid-Atlantic champion, Chris Wilde, and Team Macton, which is TJ and Kirby Mack, will take on the TWA champion, Breaker Morant. The TWA tag team champions, Damian Dragon and Matt Saigon. And the true professional, Josh Daniels. There will also be an over-the-top battle royal. You can go to ecwaprowrestling.com or dial 609-220-5598 for that information. Once again, that is at Flyers Skate Zone in Voorhees, New Jersey. If you are an indie promoter and you're going, dude, I want my stuff right on your show, you can write us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. We will gladly partake in your information. I wanted to bring up something that's happened to some friends here in the Tampa Bay area. And that would be our friends that run All Stars Wrestling of Florida, which is a Friday night show here in the Tampa Bay area. They have had an issue that I wanted to address, especially with me, since you've been involved in indie wrestling, albeit in Australia, but there's a situation that's gone on here, and I'm not going to address the name of the other promotion because why give them the free publicity? But they run on Tuesday nights while we're on the air, so any other talent that has said to me, dude, I want to do your show, sorry, you got your show, go enjoy your program. This past Friday night, the owner and one of the creative folks from that promotion made a visit to ASW while I was sitting in a theater watching Battle Los Angeles, which I'll save for another night. And come to find out that this promotion walked into Stroker's Billiards, that these folks, ASW Florida, has been there for about a year now. And basically, through help of the bar manager, who was friends with the other promotion's owner, called them all on the carpet and said, y'all got 2 weeks or you're getting out of here, and these guys are going to come in and take over. And I was like, okay, wait a minute, the bar manager said that. The actual owner of the building came along and said, I don't know what he's talking about. You guys are fine, this, that, the other thing. And then the promoter's strongman, so to speak, whose name I also won't mention because why give him the time of day, basically took to the internet and saying that your promotion sucks, it's in the grave, give up, let us come in and take it over. This just seems like, you know, like a third grade class going, you stink, I want your toy. No, I want the toy. I want the toy. I mean, does this kind of stuff happen in Australian wrestling, or is this just us dumb Americans fighting like this?
Well, not so much what you've just described, but we've had times where certain groups of people inside a company turn around and go, you know what, the promoter's annoying, the promoter's a little rat, so we're going to go off and start our own place. And there's been only one time where it's ever actually happened in front of a crowd. I found that pretty disrespectful, but given the guys that were involved, well, they were pretty disrespectful to anybody that wasn't them anyway. Basically, if you think you're going to try and take over or, you know, split off or do anything from a company, do it away from a crowd. If you've got grievances, don't air them in public, because that just brings the business down. You know, no matter what form it is in, you're just bringing the business down. You gotta remember, we try to be respectful. We're there to entertain people. We're not to let them into the backstage bull crap that goes on. So, yeah.
Yeah. Cause apparently this gentleman was not welcomed in the ASW locker room and felt this need to just do that. And for, to let other fans in on what's going on, this promotion that runs on Tuesday night, you can kind of figure out who they are if you live in the Tampa Bay area. They share talent with ASW Florida, and apparently the booker or the creative person from this promotion, the folks from Strokers went there this past Tuesday, and they purposely pulled three of the stars off of the show to go, they don't work for both places, ha ha ha. I mean, I know from when I lived in Nashville for a while, when we've had some friends visit us from that area that have been in our chat room have said that, this is nothing new to us. We're used to Burt Prentice, Mike Porter, Mike Searcy, and all of them have at it, and you can't work for them if you work for me. It's like, last time I checked, I'm an independent wrestler, or at least
show me a contract, mofo.
Yeah, thank you. That's kind of how I feel about it as well. Say, hook a brother up and I'll gladly work for you. So I know it's not normal for me to talk about stuff like that, but I just felt I needed to air my grievance with that. And this is a promoter who has verbally threatened me, on several occasions that he's going to cause physical harm to me because of stuff we've done in the past. And I'm going like, first off, you're an ass for threatening me when I'm just, the guy who types. I guess I have power. You do your Shawn Michaels quotes when you say power. No, I don't get it. Our friend Jersey Girls actually passed this interesting article along that a WrestleZone.com writer was apparently attacked at a show. Wow, I gotta read this because I actually know the performer that apparently attacked him. On this past week's podcast of PWO Wrestling, which airs on Sunday nights, WrestleZone's own Justin Labar was hit in the face by PWO performer Marion Fontaine. Marion was here in Florida for one of the Peterson Memorial Cups, so I've met this gentleman before. Over the past few months, Labar has been a part of cross-promotion and guests at PWO shows. He has been reviewing shows and highlights some of their best talents on Chair Shot Reality Video. Fontaine has been very vocal about his dislike of this person's presence at shows and critiques of himself. After a PWO championship match involving Fontaine, I think that's Pro Wrestling Ohio, I could be wrong. I know Marion is based out of that area. He came down, I think it was AEW with Eric Cannon and some other folks. Fontaine dropped the belt to Jason Bain. Fontaine approached Labar, who was sitting front row, and the altercation began. This came from Chris Cash. Said he was made several calls and texts to Labar, and the only response with a comment on the situation he would give us is, "It wasn't part of their show and was after the main event, so I'm pissed that it was on TV. As far as Fontaine, this has gone way beyond him not liking me because of my opinions." PWO Wrestling released a statement regarding the incident in which one part of it states temporary action has already been taken against Mr. Fontaine with further disciplinary measures being discussed. Whether it's a work or a shoot, you, for fans that are aware, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Mace is a trained performer. He's wrestled in Australia. He's refereed in Australia. Has that ever happened to you, or you've seen that happen in an event where a performer has just snapped on a fan and, you know, gone shoot mode, other than the traditional stuff in the 70s of people trying to stab Freddie Blassie or throw acid at Killer Kowalski or any of these, you know, legends that we honor every time we even watch a wrestling show? Has something like that ever happened at a show you've been a part of that you just sat there going, "What the crap was that?"
I've never seen it happen, but I have heard stories of guys snapping with fans in order to sort of try and keep kayfabe, has accidentally broken a window with his fist, to which he was promptly suspended and fined for the repair of the window. I've also heard stories of real annoying pseudo fans, or somebody from training has come down and heckled way too much and has been taken out the back and promptly stomped on. But I've never actually seen it, never been a part of it, never had it happen to me, and I've gotten away with a lot of stuff in my time. But, you know, these type of tactics, again, hurt the business. you know, but I can understand frustration gets to a certain level and you just want to, you know, grab them by the neck and squeeze until the head pops off like a pimple. But in the end, you got to remember you're out there representing your company. You're out there representing the pro wrestling world. The one thing you really got to do is keep your composure no matter what. When you get to the backstage area, then you go ape and, you know, start hitting at a brick wall or something that's not going to break, or, you know, swear expletives all over the place for 20 odd minutes and then have a beer to calm down. You should never ever lay your hands on the fans, no matter how much you want to.
Yeah, one of our fans in our chat room, WWF Forever, said a fan should have the right to go to a show. I thought Scott Steiner was going to rip my head off at a WWE event in Des Moines, Iowa. Very angry, but never fully threatened. Fans do their parts and wrestlers do theirs. Being that you're a fan of the original ECW, this kind of harkens back to some of the stuff that the Dudleys used to do to people. I believe it was, it's on the Rise and Fall of ECW DVD that may have been Heatwave 99 or some, it was something in 1999 where Devon and Bubba actually got out of the ring and were hocking loogies at a woman in the crowd. And I'm just going, okay, I know it's part of the show at some point, but damn,
would man. Would that be the infamous comment of there's a mother in the front row who taught her daughter how to suck dick?
That would be it. Yes, that would be it.
Yeah, that was amusing. But yeah. You'd probably find that was probably somebody they knew.
Oh,
that would probably have been a plant. They wouldn't have done that straight on fans. Like, I've been a part of moments like that, you know, back in my very early days before I even set foot in the ring. I used to sort of get along outside of the ring with one of the wrestlers, but when he was in character and I was sitting ringside, I would always be the one to jump up in his face.
Oh yeah, I don't feel to do that.
You know, I've had people, and we had it down so well that we would get face to face, nose to nose. The people sitting next to me would think we were verbally threatening each other to kill each other. The actual conversation was, hey, Trash, how you doing? Not bad, Mace. How about you? Yeah, not too bad. How long do you want to hold this for? Give it a couple more seconds, then I'll walk off in a huff. Yeah, mate, not a problem. That was the actual conversation between me and him. Yeah, to the people sitting either side of me, they thought we were getting ready to rip each other's head off.
I can testify to being at several TNA events, specifically the pay-per-views, before David Zahadi became the actual director. At that point, David was doing the vignettes you would see, and he also cut the pay-per-view commercials. Anytime that Jeff Jarrett was involved, whether he was the world champion or not, David would always be on the rail, and near where Dixie Carter used to sit. And a couple times I got involved too, because Jeff joked me, he's like, I want you with Zahadi one night. And I'm going, I'm not going to do it. So finally, like, all right, fine, one night we're going to do it. And we're standing there, we're booing the crap out of Jeff, and next thing you know, we're on camera, and I'm like, oh crap, we're on camera with Jeff Jarrett booing us. But it was just, it's part of the show and part of the experience of going that you can let go. But I know there's fans sitting in the room that may feel this way, Mace may feel this way, Soraka may feel this way, and if you feel this way, you can chime in by calling us or sending an email to Radio at Online World of Wrestling. There's got to be a point where, you know, if you're an NBA fan, you can't walk onto the court unless you're, you know, Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban. You can't do that. If you were at a rugby event, to put it in perspective for fans of Mace that have been listening to him from Australia or other parts of the country, I can't run on the rugby field. I can't run on a soccer pitch, a football pitch overseas, unless I'm going to get my butt handed to me. There's got to be a point where you just go, dude, yeah, you paid your money. You got the right to boo me and cheer me or whatever, but, you know, what the hell, man? Enough's enough.
Well, you can't do that at things like UFC events and boxing events either. Sure, you can boo and cheer and rant and rave, but, you know, those guys just zone it out. And it's the same thing with wrestlers. You know, you've got to learn to tune it out. The second you step through the ropes, it doesn't matter what the fans are saying, because you should be concentrating on your match. And every now and again, when you got a spare moment, sure, turn around, acknowledge the crowd. That's called playing the crowd. But if you're letting the fan get to you to the point where you get the urge to punch them, obviously you need a bit more self-control.
Or a Valium.
Unless your name's Super Dragon, in which case, jump over the railing and beat the crap out of the guy.
This came in, we just got this email through us by our fan, friends at Real Championship Wrestling in Baltimore, Maryland. They wanted to let everybody know, this Saturday, RCW presents Supremacy. It is a live event at the Duburns Arena, 1301 South Elwood Avenue in Baltimore, Maryland. Doors are at 6, bell time is 7:30. The main event is for the RCW World Championship with Christian York, the champion, taking on TNA star and fist-pumping legend Robbie E. Derek Frazier and Adam Flash will take on Robbie Monero and Joker. A Battle for Supremacy match. The Black G's will take on Adam Cole, who will take on Ryan McBride, who will be joined by Azrael. The RCW Cruiserweight Champion, Shimizu Zion, will take on Frightmare. There is an open challenge made by the Osirian Portal, the RCW Tag Team Champions. So who knows who will answer that one. Mia Yim will take on Madison Eagles. That name may sound familiar to some fans of Shimmer. There is a meet and greet with Robbie E. There is also going to be a GameStop WWE All-Stars tournament before the show. If you play the Xbox 360 console, you look like you have until tomorrow for your chance to be selected for that. You need to go through RCW's Facebook page, which is RCW Wrestling MD. Tickets are $25 for front row, general admission are $20. Tickets are available at realchampionshipwrestling.com. We're going to actually go ahead and get ready to take our next break of the evening. We will be talking once again with Sean Oliver. Do apologize due to Sean's schedule. At home, this was a pre-taped situation, but hopefully you will enjoy it. If not, hey, it ain't my fault. We did like having Sean show up here. And we're going to go... Oh, wait, Jersey Girl is passing me one. What are you passing me? You want me to talk about... Oh, we'll mention this event really quick for everybody. This is NWA Dog Pro Wrestling that's going to be at Casimir Gentlemen's Club. No, not... Johnny Casimir. This involves Justin Carino. You can go to Facebook and look that one up. But as the music's playing, we have to go to break. Come back. Sean Oliver will be with us. And also afterward, we will get into everything with WWE Online World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be back on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Are you looking for a place to hang out with fellow pro wrestling fans? Then look no farther than the official forum of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard in wrestling forums. OWW Genesis is the home of over 50, that's right, 50 unique forums that range from current day wrestling news and results in WWE, TNA, ROH, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, tons of indie promotions. As well, there are forums for you to discuss everything from pro wrestling past, including WCCW, WCW, ECW, and the golden age of pro wrestling. You want more? Wow. Then check out OWW Undisputed. It's the official debate league. Or even check out OWW Takedown, which is the official e-fed of OWW Genesis. You still want more? Damn, you're a picky person. OWW Genesis is also the official forum for Chick Fight and Online World of Wrestling Radio. You want more? God, you are a super cool wrestling fan. Then just head over to the gold standard of wrestling forums, OWW Genesis, right now at onlineworldofwrestling.com.
Do you have a business that you are looking to take online but have no idea what an HTML or a JPEG is? Do you currently have a website that is in need of an overhaul? Or do you have a website that needs updating but you don't have the time to do so? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you need to check out WTRProductions.tk, where you can get quality web design and management at an affordable rate. Looking to get the lowdown on all the services we offer? Then shoot us off an email by checking out our contact section so that we can help you get started building your online home. WTR Productions. High quality work for an affordable rate. Built the way you want. Located at www.wtrproductions.tk.
You are? No, you are. It's y'all.
Say again, y'all.
You are.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. Say it again, y'all.
For more great entertaining moments like this, please check out the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We swear we're not insane. At least they're not.
Charlie Haas, one half of the world's greatest tag team, and you're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. Mace Spug is still here with us tonight. I'm Alan Wojcik. And once again, he has answered the call. He is the bravest man in professional wrestling because he dares to ask the questions that nobody else gets to ask. But we're going to ask some of him tonight. He is the one and only man behind KayfabeCommentaries.com. They've got several new releases and two current releases that we wanted to talk to him about, and our fans emailed us as well at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. Sean Oliver is back with us. Thanks for taking the time out. How are we doing today?
So I have to speak to a Spug, a Mace, and an Alan. Who's the odd man out there?
Alan.
I don't need a stage name. I have my own name.
You're comfortable in your sexuality. I mean, in your name.
Hey, I am not the Long Island Ice Z or anybody else that has to have a funny, crazy ass nickname. How was your WrestleMania experience? I know when you were down and filmed Perry Saturn and Shane Douglas in the same weekend for separate releases.
No. We didn't actually do Perry yet. We did do Shane, blah, blah, blah. I guess the first. And, my WrestleMania experience was great because for the first time in a long time, I didn't watch it. So I didn't have to have any, running commentaries in my mind going, what the hell are they doing? I did get nosy and find Snooki's big spot on the internet. I had to see that.
Now the great mood is sitting somewhere and going, damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll ask the $600 million question that everybody wants to know. How did you score Perry Saturn? Because the man seemed to have gone missing more than Jimmy Hoffa ever did. How'd you do it?
Yeah, you know what? When you're in Jersey, you learn how to find people that are missing. You know? Hoffa's in the north end zone of Giant Stadium, which they demolished this year and built a new Giant Stadium. And nobody, I wonder if anybody ever thought to collect the rubble to see if he was really under there or not. Anyway, Perry Saturn kind of resurfaced at a function recently, and kind of poked his head in to see some of his wrestling pals that he had not seen or spoken to in years since seemingly vaporizing off the planet Earth. And right there, as soon as I saw him, I said, "That's it. That's got to be the next U shoot." Maybe breaks a little bit from the normal mold where we look for the more controversial or outspoken, or not that he won't be, but who knows, because no one's talked to him in 10 years. So, but we thought the fact that he had been gone for so long would leave fans with so much to ask about. And, I think we're right based on the response we got.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering, just for a DVD extra, so to say, can we have you shoot with Moppy?
You know, it's funny. We got a lot of Moppy questions. It's gonna be a it's gonna be a mop heavy you shoot, I think.
And Terry Reynolds is also sitting somewhere going, "Crap, I got overdone by a mop."
Yeah, there'll be a few Terry questions also.
Yeah, but how overall do you think he did? Was he reluctant at first when you approached him, or did he go, "Yeah, absolutely, I'm in"?
You know what? Most of the people in this business are very brave and very fearless in many ways, and that's the kind of person we like for you shoot. Someone who's not too afraid to do it. And someone who can roll with the punches, you know. He was fine. He was on board from the first phone call.
Does he do the roll-a-joint challenge? Can you give us a preview of that?
Well, we will see. We'll be shooting this in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's so, the question that I know a lot of people were asking us in our email box. Is like, well, if they've filmed it yet, do you think Sean will ask him? I was like, oh, of course, Sean asks everybody. Well, except for Maria Kanellis. She, for obvious reasons, said no.
You know what, that was, she was the only, well, Cornette I didn't bother because I don't think he's ever rolled a joint in his life. Maria was tied into the Make-A-Wish Foundation and, you know, so all we need is a still of her with a spliff in her hand floating around with, you know, the Make-A-Wish offices wouldn't want to spoil that for her. It's kind of a nice thing she does. So she was kind of concerned about that, so we said no problem. But we have plenty of questions about CM Punk and Batista's dick to stick in that place, in place of the joint. From one joint, we replaced it with another joint.
I'm sorry, give me a minute to stop laughing. Spug is sitting silently. Do you have anything, Spug? Did
Spug
we lose
is playing
Spug?
With his joint, perhaps.
I don't know. He's partaken in the substance on this show a couple times and made it a more fun evening. We actually got a couple email questions at radio@allmyworldofwrestling.com. One came from actually this is a double question, so we'll split it, from Salvatore M, who wanted to know, Sean, have you found it profitable making DVDs for the quote-unquote smart market niche? I say smart mark because I get a feeling that while your product is amazing, I don't see the John Cena shirt-wearing fans buying any of your guest Booker DVDs. So we'll give you that one, and then we'll ask his second one in a minute.
What was the first question? Is it a profitable business?
Found it profitable?
Oh, God. We wouldn't have been able to be here for 5 years if it weren't. You know, we grew revenue. God, you're testing my memory here. I have to go into my annual presentations here. But, I mean, we launched in 2007. and we launched with our commentary tracks, and I mean we grew revenue at least by 30% annually year over year from 2007. I mean, I always target 15% growth in revenue, but we're always we always blow that out of the water, you know, 25%, 30%, 35%. So yeah, and likewise, it's after all the salaries are paid and everything, there needs to be a little bit of cash flow there too, or else it's not a worthwhile venture. So we keep an eye on the bottom line also, and we look for growth, for cash flow growth of, I'm very conservative, I say 10%, after all the bills are paid and all the salaries are paid, but we always exceed that also. We exceeded cash flow growth by more than 100% last year. Am I putting everyone to sleep with all the business talk yet or what?
No.
Can I be heard?
Sure.
Yes, you can.
No, I was talking before and you guys didn't hear me. I'm being serious. No. That's why I asked, can I be heard?
Oh,
can you hear me now?
Yeah, let me get to the second email question from Salvatore, and then the floor belongs to the Spug guy.
Alan, before you go to that second question, I got a quick follow-up to the business question. Do you actually have numbers on your DVDs, like sales, and which, say, two were your top selling?
Top selling DVD to date is guest booker Jim Cornette. Second place is You Shoot Jim Cornette. I would have to take a guess at third place. It might be Kevin Sullivan and the End of WCW.
Oh, wow. That thing took a life.
That thing just took on a life of its own and became this insane cult hit. As it should. It was a great DVD. And some of the earlier guest bookers probably fall in that range there. Yeah, but the top of the pack is Corny's guest booker. It was an amazing DVD. We marketed the hell out of it, and we did some really special stuff to push that DVD, because we knew if enough eyes were on it, that it would become the hit that we thought it would be. And similarly, I think that this August, we've got the potential of that same kind of wildfire effect with Timeline 1997 with Jim Cornette. Once again, that he brought his agent binder from WWE for that year, so we literally read it out of the binder that he had at the events with, as he took notes, incidents that happened and figures and attendance and who no-showed and who fought and who had a problem. We read it right out of his agent's journal. It's amazing.
Any chance he would sell that to you guys and publish it, like a Kurt Cobain journal of some kind?
Well, we wanted to, we were talking about stuff like that, but, you know, I think Jim's an enterprising fella himself, and I think he's probably got plans of his own. But I believe that WWE would probably claim intellectual property to the damn book.
And they've been listening to us, because we talked about certain things that ended up happening recently, and we're going, hey, hi, Stanford.
Yeah,
so you're not the only one.
Join the club. I mean, there was a stretch last year where we couldn't do anything without it showing up on either TNA or WWE, the magazine they put out, the Timeline, the history of, they had a magazine out a couple of years ago called The History of WWE. And it was a timeline that ran through the whole magazine with little events, bullet pointed and popping out of the timeline. And, you know, I'm not just patting myself on the back. We send copies to Titan Tower at the request of the guys that work in the back office there. They like the show. So, you know, we were talking to somebody over there and sent them a couple of DVDs, and 6 months later, goddamn magazine came out called The History of WWE with a timeline in it.
Yeah. Our second question from Salvatore will probably rattle your brain, so I'll give you the head start on this. It involves You Shoot. He wants to know, off the top of your head, Can you remember one or two of the most outrageous questions that have ever been asked for You Shoot that you and Anthony sat there going, no, we can't put that on a DVD, or it was just so distasteful that you guys just sat there going, are you kidding?
The only rule I have with those questions is if the question involves somebody that is not a willing participant in the public eye, like something about a talent's wife or husband who isn't a wrestler or someone in their family or something like that, that obviously wouldn't get on. The only question that we ever censored for, there are two, and they were both from the same show. It was from the Dixie Carter show. One we cut voluntarily, and the other one our partners, Legends of the Ring, requested be removed. The ones TNA requested be removed, I told them to blow me, and it was my show, and I don't write their Thursday night, so they don't write our show, so we weren't taking any of them out.
Can you preface what was asked by Legends of the Ring to take out without going into the actual question?
I'll tell you them both. Both. The one we took out was somebody wanted to know about Dixie's grooming.
Ooh.
Yeah. I
knew that would get Spug to laugh.
Yeah.
I'm kidding, guys. She's a hardwood floor type of girl. That's just me, though.
I don't know. I can't speak from experience, so I couldn't tell you. She was already dressed when she got to the venue. but the other one that I thought was not a big deal, but they were insistent be removed, was it was a video somebody sent in, and they wanted to know if Hogan if she had any concrete knowledge that Russo was blowing Hogan.
Whoa! Okay.
That, I'm going to guess, also happens.
To stay employed. I thought that was a harmless question, because there were a lot of kind of funny off-color questions that she fielded, and she was fine with. You know, she's, you know, I mean, you hear a million stories about Dixie Carter, but she kind of just rolls with it. She was very unperturbed by what went on. And, I mean, she's in the goddamn wrestling business, you know. I mean, nothing we were going to say there was going to be the first time she heard anything. And she was at the bar doing it, you know, throwing back Amstels with the best of them, with her security very, very, very close at her side. But nonetheless, called me over, bought me a beer, and, you know, I was like, yeah, this is probably a cool person to work for. Now, the creative decisions that she allows for may be a different story, but I thought Dixie was cool.
Yeah, our friends at Wild Talk Radio Network made a shirt that unfortunately we can't get away with because it involves the likeness of the current booker, but I believe it had something to do with Sense MF-er, can you make it, or do you make it? Yeah, it's Russo with, like, this shock of look on his face. I was like, what do you mean we can't make those? Why not? They made an Iron Sheik shirt over at Kayfabe Commentaries. I know they have permission from the Sheik, but...
No, we never did a Sheik shirt. Eric Sims did a Sheik shirt for a little while. And then he got the letter. He got the letter from Stanford, and then that was the end of that shirt.
There's
Go ahead, what else you got?
Sean, I don't know if my phone was muted or what, but
we can totally hear you. Go ahead.
We can hear you.
Alan does have a nickname.
Oh, Lord.
Now, Jerry Lawler dubbed him Mr. Personality.
Oh, God.
But his wife, on the other hand, has a better nickname for him. Baby.
What is it?
They got my wife on their show, Talker Talk Live, and they were my ringtone for her is Enjoy the Silence by Depeche Mode. They asked her what my ringtone on the phone, on her phone is, and she said it was Firework by Katy Perry, and before that it was Baby Baby by Justin Bieber. So of course these geniuses decide to cut a commercial using the song, and I'm like, oh, goody, I'm so excited.
Alan, I was kidding about the sexuality before. You have Depeche Mode as a ringtone?
I born and raised into that band. I love Depeche Mode.
Okay.
Yeah,
the defense rests.
Yeah.
See, you see the liberal faggotry we have to work with on a weekly basis?
More interesting questions that we got. It basically prefaced, what led to picking Sabu as the choice for your first timeline, and what made you change the look as the way you normally do the WWE one, where you're just sitting in a room together? This one seemed just different camera angles and what. Did you like the way it came out?
I did. I was extremely happy with the visual element of it. That's a very conscious decision with each show. You know, we want them to kind of look a little different, sound a little different. You know, the graphics are unique to the series, but different from one another. And so that's an important element in kind of creating a feeling. Now, as we trace the history of ECW, I wanted a kind of a little more industrial feel. I wanted to kind of break the fourth wall a little bit and show some of the production elements and just kind of dirty up the shot a little bit. Sabu's shot is clean, and you know, it would be too distracting if we dirtied up his shot. But I had the idea to do the overhead kind of fly on the wall in the production room shot for the master, almost making it not a master, almost making it look like an accidental shot. It was just my first instinct to shoot it that way, and then I thought because it's ECW, maybe it would be consistent with something like that, with that type of personality in the frame there. And I said, am I nuts? And Anthony, my business partner, the other one largely responsible for developing these shows, kind of questioned it and didn't really get what I was going for. My wife also, when I drew out, you know, she's in creative arts as well, and when I kind of drew out my idea, she said two things. She said, when are you going to stop with that wrestling shit? And then she said... well, I don't know about that. You're going to keep bouncing back to that shot. But I just, it's one of those things I had in my head that I couldn't explain, but I knew it would suit the personality of the show. And took a gamble on it. Like the show I'm writing right now. I'm just currently sitting at my desk. I got paper all over the place. I'm writing this insane show about the Four Horsemen, that we're going to be shooting, in a few weeks that comes out in November. And, I couldn't find the words to pitch it, and I think that Anthony usually does most of the writing and the research. I kind of just asked him to pull the research I needed and then get out of the way that I would write the show. And I'm going back and forth with JJ now, and he kind of thinks I'm a little nuts too, but he's getting on board. He's sending me more and more info, so this is going to be something like no one's ever seen before. But long answer to a short question, when I get that kind of thing, it's in my mind, and I don't know that I can necessarily articulate it, and I just know instinctively whether it's right or wrong. And I thought redesigning the look for ECW would be the right way to go. Who knows? Ultimately, the public judges, not me.
Yeah, let me get one question out first, Spud, because this also came from Melissa Shook of Seattle, Washington, and wanted to know, I really love the Sabu DVD. How the heck did you get Rob Feinstein to go into business with you by putting out the fan cam DVDs in 1997?
They're actually not even the fan cam DVDs. They are the television programs. And I was under the impression that Rob only had distribution rights to the fan cam footage. So we began talks about this, oh, God, a year and a half ago when I approached him. Actually, he approached me. He said, hey, listen, you know I own the ECW stuff, right? Do you think we could do something together? And I said, well, let's talk about that. And all the while, I was under the impression that it was just the fan cam stuff. And then I learned that he had the TV signed over to him, too. Now, this was back in the day. This agreement was made when, you know, ECW was trying to pry their way onto, you know, little MSG cable affiliates here and there and getting whatever TV exposure they could. They allowed Rob to have the exclusive, in addition to them, exclusive distribution and broadcast rights to their TV, which he maintained, and he showed me the, you know, obviously I needed a copy of that contract, and he was forthcoming with it, and it's, you know, Dreamer was the was handling the rights at the time for Paulie, and it was signed over to him by ECW and signed by Dreamer. So once that was locked, stock, and barrel, I had to know that before we went ahead with it. I said, great, let's cut some of the footage into the shows, and let's offer people the entire year on DVD as well as the just the Spotlight program, just the in addition to the Timeline program. So it was a good agreement that we came to, and I think it worked out for both sides, and it's a powerful product, that series.
Sean Oliver joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. May Spug, I'm Alan Wojcik. Go ahead, Spug.
I'm sorry, I'm driving, so I have to get the questions in as quick as possible when I get a moment to ask them.
Go for it.
Is there a possibility of doing more ECW stuff, you know, more Timelines or U shoots, and maybe getting the big fish there of Paul Heyman? Because I'd really love to hear him uncensored, you know, just say what he wanted to say.
Yeah, the big fish doesn't really want to do anything wrestling related for a while now, since, I don't know, a few years ago when we first reached out. He's kind of keeping that stuff to himself. He is writing a book.
Shocking.
So that's probably where you'll see that stuff. But listen, the minute he wants to come on, he knows where to find me.
Yeah, what was Shane Douglas obvious for the second choice? I know we're forecasting because you mentioned him on the Facebook page, but was Shane a choice for more than 1 year other than the one you picked for him?
At first, the way we kind of work with these shows and the WWE timelines as well, we kind of have a short list for each year. We have like our top guy that we'd want for that year. And if it doesn't work out for whatever reason, money or just scheduling, we can go a little deeper and pull somebody else out that would work for that year. Shane, we had pegged to do 1994 for obvious reasons. And then when we were booking Sabu, we considered maybe moving Sabu to 94. That was really a breakout year for Sabu. But we thought, just to keep the integrity of the series, that Shane Douglas would need to be the one to talk about the night they crossed the line and what he was being told leading up to that, and his dealings with Todd and Paul and the NWA at the time. It really needed to be Shane for 94. So 94 was always Shane's year.
Now, during the watching of the Al Snow DVD, I almost went blind by the little strobe effect in the background. Great work there, by the way.
It's we were looking to it only looks that way on Australian DVD players.
Oh no, it doesn't.
Oh hell no! I got on PSP, man.
No, you know what it was? It was an awful interference. I won't bore you with the long answer, but it won't happen again. It's actually on the Dutch Mantel as well.
Mm-hmm.
Those were shot in the same day, kind of in the same session. And we were mixing two color channels to get purple, a red, which is a primary color, and a blue, which is a primary color. And when we mixed the two primary colors with the digital video, it created an odd strobe in post-production. First of all, imagine me trying to figure that out, how long it took to get to the bottom of that, that was the problem. But that's what it was, and there was no way to know until it was too late.
Now, with your upcoming title, well, the second round with the Honky Tonk Man, is there anything that you can sort of preview for us? Does he drop any, this is the guy who's leaving TNA bombs on us?
We haven't shot it. We're shooting it in the middle of May. So,
yeah, what's the last date that fans can get an email in? Is it the end of this week?
23rd.
Okay, so we'll be by the end. It'll be the Saturday then. What made him say yes to doing it a second time? Was it just he felt he had more stuff to air?
Money.
Ah.
you know what? We had never repeated anyone on any of the shows, actually, unless you count the lost questions for Cornette. That was just because we had such a voluminous outpouring of stuff for him that we had to have him come back and address all the fun stuff. You know, it was such a wrestling heavy show, the first U shoot, and after the 4 hours, we had so much other fun stuff, so we did the lost questions. But outside of that, nobody's repeated on a show, so we had to think long and hard about having him come back to do this. But I instantly thought it was fine. My instinct was that he was the first guest on this show, and that show, that series, whether or not it's my personal favorite one, really is the one that put us on the map and gave us the game changer moniker. If I am not being presumptuous, and we do have that, that's up to you to decide. But if we do, that's largely the show that did it. We added a whole dimension of entertainment into the shoot interview with that series, and it really reinvigorated the business. If you look at what other shoot interview companies and even the big companies have looked to do with their interview format releases since U Shoot, it's really changed everything. So to have Honky come back to the show that he kind of in a way helped create, because he was such the perfect guest for that, and so much has been added. We have the games now. So, you know, having Honky play some of the games, I know, I think he'll be, Anthony has clued me in that he'll be playing the mugshot game.
Oh, God.
One of the new games. So there'll be plenty of new stuff for Honky to do. And I know Jamie Dundee has sent in a video. I haven't seen it, but Lord knows what's on that. it'll be a good time had by all. Honky's return, HTM2 to U-Shoot. It'll be amazing.
Yeah, if you're listening to us and you're a member of the OWW Genesis Forum, you can go under the news headlines area and submit your question there. Go ahead, Mace.
Now, just wondering, how well do you screen some of these questions, especially in regards to the U-Shoot with New Jack, for one? And just some of these off-the-mark guys I just want to take a baseball bat to.
Yeah, we may fly you in for it.
Yeah, they elicit a very polarizing response. You know, they are the U-Shoot Whack Pack, is what I call them. I guess they are our, you know, Beetlejuice and Gary the Retard and whatnot. Not to make light of them, but I think their behavior on some of those shows makes light of it. I find them funny. I like that they take the time to send in stuff. Listen, there have been episodes of U Shoot where we literally got 30 or 40 videos from them. You know, the fact that it got chopped down to only 5 that make it on camera, and people write about those 5, they go, well, I had to sit through 5 videos from, you know, the Hess Express. But, you know, that's down from 30 that we got. So we look for the more entertaining ones, and you know, they are the wrestling public. This is the most democratic show in the world, U Shoot. People complain about the questions. They should send in their own videos, and if their videos are as entertaining as those, they'll bump those out of the box. It's democracy in its greatest form, U Shoot. Maybe I should change the colors to red, white, and blue.
There you go. As we sit here today, the next edition of the Timeline WWE series is being released to the fans and it's 1985 with former Intercontinental and Tag Team Champion Greg the Hammer Valentine. Why choose Greg the Hammer was an email we got from Mike Ligoria. Said Greg the Hammer is an interesting choice, but also has less personality than Allen, if you can believe that. Whoa, that's a nice shot. Thanks, Mike.
Well, Greg is, we've worked with Greg before, and, you know, we did not expect him to shoot flames out of his ass on camera. We knew it was going to be a, very much like his ring style, a slow, methodical interview. But that's okay, because Timeline's a very heavily edited series. You know, we cut those title cards in as bumpers to all the questions, so we can move Greg in and out of the answers quickly. And the requisite for someone to do that show is we need somebody who is working near the top of the card, that they were at all the TVs, and they would have been privy to all of what was going on, and worked with a host of people in the ring, in addition to encountering those people outside the ring, was working high enough on the card that they had regular dealings with management, that they'd be able to answer those type of questions and incidents and occurrences as well. And Greg fits that mold for that year. There were a few choices we could have used. I was always lobbying to use somebody who was in the WrestleMania main event, whether it be Piper or Orndorff or Orton. But we are good. We decided to do a special edition Timeline: The History of WWE WrestleMania 1, which would cover for 2 hours all things, because there was just too much in for WrestleMania. It would shortchange everything else that happened in 85 if I spent an hour on the first WrestleMania, which you could. So we decided to get to put Greg here and to use one of those guys for the WrestleMania special.
Oh, okay. And do you have anything else, Spug, before we let you go get on your merry way to getting home?
Oh, I'm already on my way home. It's not a big deal. I was up car shopping still.
Yeah, that we'll save for later on in the show, because believe me, that's an endeavor in its own right when the FBI is involved. But do you have anything else for Sean before we let you get going?
Because you're going through, and you're selecting the years that you want to do, and you know, interviews, you know, who you want to do for a U shoot. Have you ever thought about doing an event? You know, like the doing a sort of like either a guest booker or a timeline about it, and I don't mean like WrestleMania, but you know, the Shane Douglas with the belt, the NWA title, you know, catalytic events in wrestling history.
I don't know. It would need to be an event that could sustain 2 hours. I don't know how many there are. I don't know. I guess that's my answer.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Yeah. Coming up on May 10th, you have another interesting version of Guest Booker, and this would be with former member of Demolition, Bill Adie, involving the booking the breakup of Demolition. Why him and not Barry Darso involved as well? Was it just you wanted to focus on one of them, or does Bill have background in booking that we don't know about?
Yeah, Bill was a booker, so he booked, he helped Ole book Georgia when he was working there as the Masked Superstar, and he also booked Global for Pedicino. So, yeah, I mean, he was a booker, and we knew we wanted to work with him, so we thought it would be interesting to see if he was charged with having to book a long breakup angle with Demolition.
Also, go ahead, Mace, if you got anything. I think I lost Mace as well.
All right, I'm good.
Yeah, on May 31st, you're actually going to debut a new series, which is called Wrestling's Most. Looks like the first edition, according to the home site of kayfabecommentaries.com, involves a controversial moment. Can you give us any info as to how you're going to pull this one off, because like your ringside series, footage is a little hard to come by.
That's true. So being the industrious young chap that I am.
You used WWE stick figures, didn't you?
We hired an animator.
All right.
To do little cute animations of these events. Very funny. They're very amusing. And less important than the actual watching the actual event, though, it's the show is, I guess, the closest thing that I can liken its format to is if you've ever seen any of the VH1 countdown shows where they'll do the 50 most awesomely bad songs in the history of music and then have a bunch of celebrities commenting on those songs and their placement in the countdown. So we put on our website last year a host of events, both for this show, for the controversial moment, and then some of the other ones that are going to be coming down the pike as the series evolves. And we had the fans vote through a poll on the site as to what they thought the most controversial moment was, the most what were the other ones, the most awful angle, etc. And based on those results, we count down the top five, and we'll have 10 or 12 stars from the world of pro wrestling yesterday and today commenting in very similar fashion to what VH1 does on those events. It's going to be a very fun show, very light, very funny, moves very fast. We have those little animations. And so, if I may, here are the choices which the public had. Of course, I won't reveal the top five, but the choices that everyone had to vote on the most controversial moments are, and then you guys can weigh in and you can tell me what you think the most controversial moment is. How's that? So we can have a host participation here.
Sure. We got a few minutes left.
All right, good. All right, Russo wins the WCW title. WCW gives away Raw results. Fritz fakes a heart attack. The ECW crucifixion. The Maeda Choshu shoot kick. DX invades CNN Tower. Kaufman-Lawler fiasco. Dusty leaves Florida. Duggan and the Sheik busted. The 2020 expose and slap. The WWE sex scandal. The show goes on. That's Owen Hart. Hogan leaves Vern for WWE. The Click's MSG curtain call. Vince admits wrestling is entertainment to avoid attacks. Black Saturday and the Montreal screw job. So that's what fans had to vote. And we will count the top five down and have the stars of the ring also give their thoughts on them. What do you think? Let's start with Spug, because I just wanted to say Spug again.
Spug's gone for the moment.
Spug's gone.
He had to go take care of his young one. His young one is one of the executive producers of the show, so he had to go and check in. So, Mace, the floor is yours.
Controversial moments all over the joint. So if you go recent times, it'd be Vince calling wrestling entertainment, especially with all the crap that he's put out over the news feeds lately. But, I don't know, I heard Vince Russo winning the title, and I thought, yeah, that could be it. Then again, Vince Russo doing anything in wrestling is considered controversial because he's a moron.
Russo breathing is controversial.
No, Russo breathes in swerves. Every breath, it's a swerve. I don't
know. What do you think, Alan? What do you think, Alan?
The 97 incident is still to this day. You mentioned 1997. That's the first thing that pops in everybody's head. I'm being from New York, the Northeast, like you. I remember the sex scandal of the 80s, and I really remember Vince having to go, I believe it was New Jersey that he did that to get out of paying a tax, some sort of
yeah.
Reform tax. Was that what it was?
Yeah, it was in Jersey. So that met, does that get your vote?
Past few years.
What's that? I lost you for a second.
Yeah, Dusty leaving Florida to go to the Crockett's is interesting because I've met so many fans over the last few years living down here that they say once he split, that was it. Eddie Graham's business just went, and you know, unfortunately, we lost a great mind, and then whilst the state fell into the ground. We unfortunately have run out of time with Sean. Definitely go to kayfabecommentaries.com. You can pre-order all those releases. You can actually order the Greg Valentine DVD as we speak. And he will come back. We'll do this almost like we're doing it quarterly now. So hopefully by the time he's back, we'll be talking Jim Cornette, guest booker of the 1997-ish edition. So stay with us here on All Out World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be back with everything from the WWE Monday Night Raw and a preview of Friday Night SmackDown from London, England. We'll be back. OWW Radio.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Brett Berry. Janice Michelle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the quickest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
TJ Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
There are plenty of wrestling radio shows that consider themselves to be award-winning, yet they are full of flaws. While WrestleTalk Radio continues to bring you the best wrestling talk on the internet today, with no production flaws. Tune in Sunday nights for WrestleTalk Radio, the best value in wrestling radio. We're just saying.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Hello, Fiat Restaurant. May I help you?
Oh, yes. I'd like to order, please.
What would you like?
Vegetable fried rice.
Huh?
Vegetable fried rice. Pie.
Only vegetable.
Vegetable
Hello?
Fried rice. Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Vegetable
no
fried
meat.
Rice.
And do you... Egg is okay? No egg.
Egg okay. Egg okay.
Okay.
No bok choy?
Oh, we don't have bok choy.
No bok choy? Okay.
Yeah.
Snow peas? You have snow peas?
Yeah, we have snow peas.
Extra snow peas.
What do you mean? You mean to fry the rice?
Yes, fried rice.
Oh, fried rice, we don't have snow pea.
No snow pea?
Yeah.
The chicken? You put chicken in there?
Yeah, we have chicken fried rice.
But
you want chicken fried rice?
No, I want the vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Oh, that means chicken fried rice, yeah?
No, vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Hello, we have seafood fried rice, beef fried rice, chicken fried rice. Or if you don't want meat, we can make a vegetable fried rice for you. So you want chicken or no chicken?
No, I want the vegetables and the chicken. Can you do both?
We have like a fried rice, we have green peas inside. Not too much vegetables.
Never mind. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Mm-hmm.
This is Lacey Von Erich. You're listening to The Network, Tim Steinbilt, Wild Talk Radio.
All I Will Wrestling Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks to Sean Oliver for being with us. KayfabeCommentaries.com is the place to go for all your DVD needs. We found out during the break we were expecting our friend Jamal, known as Kevin Scott, to be a part of our program. However, due to some health issues that we're going to mention right now, because I feel really bad for the guy. Kevin normally works at SUNY Stony Brook Hospital and unfortunately had an incident. He normally works at a dining eatery at the facility, and they were closed for spring break, so he took shift at their at a flower shop. And unfortunately I found out that I'm allergic to flowers. His throat closed.
So he didn't have the issues because of he's trying to suck certain appendages?
Oh, his throat closed up and they had to call in a rapid response for him. He says his fever is down, blood pressure is back to normal, has a headache and an upper respiratory infection. And the comment about Russo completing an oral treatment on Hulk Hogan nearly made him choke as he was listening. So Sorokin was like, great, you're going to kill him. So speedy recovery to Kevin Scott. We'll be looking for you next week. Sorokin says from the TV taping tonight in Orlando, we have a medical update since we're on medical stuff. A performer known as Abyss apparently had his two front teeth knocked out during his match with Mr. 420 himself. He'll be celebrating tomorrow, Rob Van Dam. Maybe Sir Smoke-A-Lot was hitting it a little early there. Kind of love reading stuff like that. Lost my two front teeth in a show. I was like, cool, you look like the goof on Tough Enough. That's in there, the supposed MMA guy trying to come along. Before we get into Raw and SmackDown and Extreme Rules, Michael, I believe, is the name of the gentleman who ended up going home this week. We had a visit on Tough Enough from The Big Show, who spoke with Eric Watts. No, not that Eric Watts. About what it's like to be a big man in the business. And I really like seeing that. I was like, wow, this is pretty cool to see. Former WWE Diva and Baltimore Ravens cheerleader Stacey Keibler, one of the Gretas from Chuck, stopped by also to visit with them when they did a cheerleading competition. Some friends pointed this one out to me, Mace, and you may remember the previous three Tough Enoughs that they actually lived somewhere and then trained. You're not seeing what Al Snow and crew did with those kids, where they're going move for move and learning, this is the lock, this is the headlock. We're going to teach you guys suplex. This show, we're going to go off the top rope. Do you think with this edition, it's by design from WWE, people like Spuds, husband, manslave, Triple H involvement? Or is WWE going, yeah, we'll tell you it's not real, but we're not going to show you how we do it?
I think it's probably more along the second option there, where it's, yes, it is fake to a certain degree, but we're not going to show you every little hold and every little trick, you know. You have to excuse me, just come off lunch. The one thing that I've noticed floating around in chat rooms for these, like during Tough Enough, is a lot of people going, oh, why aren't they showing the guys learning how to bump? And I'm like, well, That's like a magician telling you every little part of a trick. Why spoil the complete illusion? You know, we need to try and keep the kayfabe, the, you know, little tricks that we use secret, or else, well, you end up with another influx of backyard wrestlers like you did in the 90s when everybody started watching all the behind the scenes footage and thinking they could do it. But as for Tough Enough as a whole, I still think it's a very pampered experience. As Bug and I have both said previously, you know, where's the $25 a night hotel room designed for 8 people, but you're cramming like 12 to 15 in there?
Or driving 12 hours to a show and to find out there is no show. Sir Rockin is chiming in saying that Kevin Dunn, the gentleman that's always made fun of on Kayfabe Commentaries DVDs, and Vince McMahon have no real influence in terms of producing this program. He received that info from some other radio programs that are out there, though. I wish I could remember the name of the reality people that are involved with this, but I understand where you're coming from and the whole idea of, you know, David Copperfield's not gonna go, you want, or Chris Angel's not gonna go for modern people to go, you wanna see what's behind the curtain? Ta-da! There it is! And, one of our chat room residents, WWF Forever, said that, it seems that they've already been groomed with the moves. And it was interesting, as I said, it came basically down to a shoot promo, and the better person won, who I believe has worked for Main Event Championship Wrestling in the Indiana area. I believe Jason Briley's promotion, he has been a part of. So, yeah, I it's just amazing. It almost feels like, I still want to say that they are keeping Miss USA on this show because she is Miss USA. Whether the girl can bump or the girl can perform, I'm just sitting there going, okay, you had Johnny Fairplay's wife, Michelle, who was on the show last night. And of course they listed him as Johnny. They didn't list him as, oh, by the way, it's Johnny Dalton from Survivor on the phone, kids. She left. And, you and Stone Cold Steve Austin said she left for a good reason. You're a mom, you want to be around your kids, and you know, it goes back to what he said. His two children, a couple of his kids live in England, you know, born in the U.S. and have British accents. If you watch the Stone Cold Steve Austin, I believe it's the Stone Cold Truth DVD that they interviewed the two of them, and his ex-wife, who used to be Lady Blossom, I believe was her valet name, the one who's obviously credited with the Stone Cold Steve Austin name. Certain sites are reporting that the ratings are once again down for this program. Now, it could also because the show's on at 8 o'clock, so you may be running into a lot of network shows like Chuck or whatever other programs are on. I don't know if Dancing with the Stars is on in the U.S. at that point. It's interesting. I'm hoping the next couple of weeks, as Taz used to say, we get the crap out the door.
Well, I'm just going to interject at the moment. Sure. The whole Michelle incident brings up a great point in wrestling. You know, these guys are on the road 365 days a year, and Austin said it best. He's only just now getting to be with his daughters to understand them. He's missed 14 years because he's been on the road with wrestling. Now, there are sacrifices you're going to make, especially if you want to hit that big time. If you're not willing to make those sacrifices, then, you know, obviously you're not going to make it in the business.
Yeah, look at what Ric Flair, if you look to the Ric Flair anthology DVD, his four children basically are in that same boat. That he was Ric Flair. They maybe would have seen him at Christmas, and that was back in the 80s when the NWA was rocking, and he was the flag bearer for that promotion. And you know, Triple H said it on the original. I hearken back to the original Tough Enough when he spoke to the kids and said, "This is a business where what's your wife?" And it's kind of funny to hear him say it now because of who he's married to. And he's like, you know, you're out, you're in a hotel room on the road. Where's your wife? Don't know. what she's up to. Where's her husband? Don't know. Don't know what he's up to. Kids? Don't know what they're up to. But now, of course, he's married to the boss's daughter, so he gets to do whatever the heck he wants. So, I mean, I can testify to it from having friends that are in the business here in the United States that it is a very tough life. And, you know, welcome to it. You want to be a part of the show? Right ahead. Please go ahead. If you wanted to talk about the eliminations from this week, go ahead.
Yeah, look, I know a lot of people are going, you know, Michael just, like, deserved to go. But the thing is, and I'm going to bring this up, you've got Ryan and Rima both getting lucky once again. Rima got away because Ryan and Michael had a bit of tension and Austin wanted to see them go. Ryan got lucky because Michael couldn't cut a promo to save his life. I can tell you next week, one of those two are going to be back and they're out the door.
Well, I hope so. That I feel...
Ryan was supposed to be gone last week, but Matt Cross opened his mouth and said the stupidest thing ever.
Yeah.
And that saved Ryan once again. Dude's luck is running out.
Yeah, and I've made my feelings before, and that the current Miss USA is on this program and took the spot of someone who could have been here that was like a Matt Cross, be it an Austin Aries, be it my friend who wrestles with Aaron Epic here in Florida, or Danny Only who wrestles out of Georgia. It could have been someone established like that. I understand now why, obviously, Rib Defaki is here, however you pronounce her name. I apologize for mispronouncing it. But she is there for that factor. I miss USA. Yay! And it's like, she reminds me of the Bella Twins from having seen them at FCW, where my 2-year-old can bump better. Spug's daughter can bump better. Tim Stein's son Owen can probably bump better than Rima Femke. And she may not ever get it, but I think you're right. Her and Ryan are going to be back there next week. I'd love to see a double elimination happen. I don't know if we will. And unfortunately, we've spent more time on this than I probably wanted to. And I'm sure our audience is going, we don't care. So let's move on. This past Friday night, SmackDown, saw Alberto Del Rio, open the program by praising Edge, but also saying, give me my belt. Which, of course, Teddy Long was brought out, set up a battle royal for later on in the evening. The promo that Edge did was definitely one of the most moving ceremonies to have that happen. Once again, I'm still a mixed bag because the pay-per-view is here in the Tampa Bay area and Adam Copeland lives here in Tampa. I believe he is 100% sincere in what he's saying, Mace, but I still have that swerve thing going in the back of my head that he's going to get involved in this ladder match, which is now Alberto Del Rio taking on Christian. I can't shake it.
Alberto Del Rio versus Christian seemed to be one of the plans that they had in mind. You know, if you take a look, they suddenly switched the feud from Alberto Del Rio and Edge to Alberto Del Rio and Christian for a little bit there. I'm not seeing a real problem here. You can't have Edge. Christian does just as good. Edge and Christian, 5-second pose.
Absolutely. The couples therapy session is definitely going to be a multi-episode thing. I'm going to skip it. I just want to let me just get this out real quick.
No, done. Move on.
Come on. All right, fine. Before we get involved in Monday Night Raw, this is an interesting note that came around. Probably mispronouncing this gentleman's name, so I apologize. Tom Casillo won 2 Daytime Emmy Awards for Best Writing and recently held the position of breakdown writer for the CBS soap opera As the World Turns. Was hired recently for WWE Creative. Once again, proof positive. They ain't looking for the wrestling people.
I write stories. Can I have a job?
Exactly. If fans that may have watched the show last night and everybody's going, it's live! No, it's not, dumbass. It was in London, England. Are you serious? There were many hours ahead of us in the United States if you thought that was live. This came from some fans that were in attendance that apparently World Wrestling WWE, can't call them wrestling anymore, ordered O2 Arena officials to remove all signs from fans that were directed at the Long Island Ice Z Zack Ryder. One sign was confiscated, read Ryder equals ratings. Another one said push Ryder. Apparently Matt Zack Ryder has in recent weeks gained a large following thanks to people watching on YouTube the True Long Island Story. Many fans are pushing for him to get more TV time, which WWE doesn't seem intent on doing. Several of our folks here in the last couple of weeks when we did Guess Who's Future Endeavored brought him up. I never understood this kind of situation. Listen to your fan base, man. I know they're obviously may sitting there going, the fans don't know crap. Push the John Cena shirts, kids. They don't know crap. I mean, I don't have anything against Zack Ryder, but what's the big deal in letting a guy work Superstars, which is now WWE.com based in the United States? I mean, is he gone and before the draft here?
I have no idea what the hell's going on with those people. And personally, I'm not a fan of the Long Island Ice Z. I don't see the reason to push him. He's like, I understand the over the top stuff, but okay. But meh. I don't know what to say about him really.
That's totally fine. This was, as mentioned, a pre-taped event. And we all learned something new. If you smoke, you're a bad guy. And I don't mean the bad guy like Reza Ramon. I mean, apparently you're a heel because Ron the Truth Killings, or R-Truth, as WWE has forced him to be known, opened a show with a promo talking about, I'm in the championship match. Yay, cool. Morrison comes out. He gets talked into giving up his match. Ugh, God, next thing you know, we're fighting over the spot, and now it's not only WWE Champion The Miz versus Marky Mark versus John Morrison, we're now apparently inside a steel cage. Before we get to that, the turning of R-Truth to heel, for me at least, is a good thing, because if you're a fan of TNA wrestling back in the day, Ron the Truth Killings, for the majority of his few months in TNA, including when he won the world championship from Ken Shamrock, he was a heel. So I know in my mind, Mace, that he can heal. Is this something good for him, or is this them going, oh, we got nothing else for you, you bad guy, go be bad guy?
Pretty much. We don't have a clue of what to do with your truth. Turn heel, see what happens.
And light up a smoke.
Yeah, well, which is against the law in England, actually, smoking inside buildings.
Is that why the fans were chanting? Was,
yes, the fans were chanting that's illegal.
I thought that's what they were going on about.
I have been in communication with somebody who was at that show. And there was a lot of piped-in chants. There were chants that were dulled down, so they weren't registering on television. There was a lot of heavy editing done.
Welcome to being pre-taped from England. Change number two is to the look of the former Nick Nemeth, known as Dolph Ziggler. We're no longer blonde, kids. He basically shaved off all the lovely blonde locks. And when he walked out, I was going like, look, Evan Bourne's wrestling. Evan Bourne? That's what he looked like when he came out. I don't know about the rest of the people listening or were watching that show, but he did. When he first came out, I was going, dude, what the heck? Was he due for a change like this? Or is this just maybe him personally going, yeah, I need a change? I mean, does creative have that power in your mind that they can go, you, haircut, go now?
Well, they seem to do have that power. If you remember, Christian at one point got his hair cut because of what WWE wanted. They wanted all their guys to have short hair. So, you got long hair and you want to keep a job. Snip, snip. A lot of these guys, when they sign on the dotted line, a part of that contract reads that the contract allows WWE to make changes to your character at any time, whether they be physical or, you know, story style based. If they tell you, hey, we want you to stain your teeth yellow, guess what? You're going to stain your teeth yellow.
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to walk in and going, yeah, the right arm, you don't need it anymore. We're going to take that. I can't see WWE doing that. But then again, I don't know. I mean, this is the same promotion that had Zach Gowen work for them. If you're a fan of spoilers tonight today, actually, now morning overseas, SmackDown was taped. You can go to all the sites to find out about Edge's retirement party that Alberto Del Rio was hosting. We saw some interesting flaws in this show that unfortunately look like were not edited out, that maybe on the world famous Botchamania, which you can find on several sites. That would be the match between Alex Riley and The Miz, the current champion, taking on John Cena and Sin Cara. And apparently he's going around locker rooms, and he's claiming that some of his major victories in Mexico were, that's the best way to say it, is so the kids get it, shoot fights. Is this a legend in his own mind happening here? I know I'm about to open a major can of worms for laughter here, but are you serious? Shoot fights in Mexico? I don't know.
I don't know either, dude.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
It is. It's like, okay, shoot fights in Mexico. What are they going to do? Dress people up in chicken suits? I don't know. This world is a very weird place these days.
Yeah, if you rewatch his match with Primo Colón and watch this tag match, you're just sitting there going, Jesus, dude, slow down. I mean, maybe it's me. I'm not a trained performer. I'm not a technician to get in the ring. But as the average fan watching that, I'm sitting there going, wow, great stuff. You also nearly killed your WWE champion who's recovering from a concussion, dude. It's scary. And am I looking at this in the wrong light, or are you seeing the same thing as a viewer?
Sorry, dude, I zoned out. What was the question?
Okay. Yeah, with Sin Cara, during this match, he had several spots that would fall into the Botchamania program. Is this just him adjusting to the WWE style, or is this just he's trying to do so much to get everybody to go, look at me, look at me, look at me?
I think he's just wrestling his standard style, but his standard style is just too quick for the other guys. You know, WWE works a way slower style than even indie standards. I don't know whether this is for safety reasons or whether it's just to stretch out TV time, I don't know. But a guy like Sin Cara is going to be, you know, 100% pedal to the metal the entire time. And these guys need to start moving a little bit quicker to try and help him look good. You know? A lot of this stuff falls on the opponent. It's not always the guy who's giving the move, it's the guy who's taking the move that makes it look good. If you can't keep up with the guy who's giving you the move, you need to step your ass up.
He almost seems like when he was with Cologne, it worked great. If he's with, eventually maybe Areem Stereo in his prime, it would work great. But there's gotta be a point where someone is going to pull him aside, be it Arn Anderson or Dean Malenko or other road agent, going, dude, really? Someone's gonna end up dumped on their head, you're gonna do that trampoline thing, and do it, over and over and over, and it's like, whoa. And, you know, to harken back to, WWF Forever and our chat room brought up, said that he had watched, I believe it was an RF shoot interview with Shawn Michaels, that he had commented on Rob Van Dam needing to slow things down for psychology purposes. It almost feels like an ROH spot fest of, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this, and hold on, I'm going to do this too. It's like, dude, seriously, slow down before somebody ends up injured. Also on the show, we had Eve Torres defeating Nikki Bella. Problem is, she defeated the one that didn't have the belt on, but as they keep reminding each other, draft coming, which we'll talk about in a moment or two. Unfortunately, we were so thrilled to have Michael Cole be knighted. Why? I was sitting there almost, I was having the Jim Cornette face that you make when we talk about TNA, sitting there going, can I get a clock on how long this segment went? Cause I was just sitting there going, I know you gotta book stuff for this Extreme Rules pay-per-view, but seriously, we're knighting Michael Cole? You have CM Punk on your roster. You now have Dolph Ziggler on your roster. And on the Raw roster, and this is one of your biggest deals, is a guy who used to get wedgies from DX? Come on, please. Bring somebody up from FCW instead of him, Mace. I mean, God, anybody. Please, pretty please.
Well, the only thing that I found amusing about that was the robe he was wearing. It just made him look so stupid, and I laughed my ass off.
Yeah, one of our friends was just going like, as soon as that started, they're typing away to me going, this ends bad for him. I go, what do you mean? It's like, that robe's going to make his ass tip over. He's not going to be able to support the weight of it.
Mind you, another bit of knowledge from a guy who was at the show. Listen carefully if you decide to rewatch Raw. They actually are singing the words to God Save the Queen. So it just goes to prove that brainwashing national anthems into people does work.
Definitely works there. Your U.S. heavyweight champion, Sheamus, defeated Santino Marella, so he is on his venture quest to take out everybody. That is wrong, Sheamus, along the way. So he may be coming for you, for all I know. Since the folks in Stanford seem to like listening to our program, they may have heard your comments about Mr. Sheamus along the way. We were treated to another match between Randy Orton and CM Punk, which I admit I didn't get to see much of because my DVR killed it. Sitting there going, yeah, this is getting interesting. Blue screen saying delete, pause, exit, what the hell? So from what I found out from friends online and what I saw online, RKO, Infinity, whatever, out of nowhere. And of course now, since the core is having issues on SmackDown, let's have Nexus 2.0 have issues here. Why? I don't know. Your card for Extreme Rules, as we sit here at this particular moment, as mentioned, you have a steel cage match with triple threat rules, which I'm not 100% sure I've ever seen in recent memory, is the WWE champion, The Miz, taking on John Cena, taking on John Morrison, and The Miz did eloquently stated in his promo, Mace, that I could be in the ring pinning John Cena, and John Morrison's climbing out. In your recent memory, and Sir Rockin can chime in here too, have either one of you seen that there? I mean, Sir Rockin is saying here, if TNA can do it, so could WWE. And visually, this does, on paper, seem like something very interesting that could happen. Or vice versa. He could be pinning Morrison and Marky Mark could be dancing his way out and going, I got the belt, ha ha!
Yeah, I don't know what they're thinking with the whole three. It's a three-way in a cage.
That can only end bad.
Pretty much.
Pretty much.
Your world championship ladder match will now take place. Number one contender Alberto Del Rio will take on Christian. We still have Jack Swagger and Michael Cole taking on Jerry Lawler and Jim Ross. Announced from, I believe last night, or it was leaked on sites, that you were going to have a last man standing match between Randy Orton and CM Punk. Wasn't that what Batista left on last year with Marky Mark? It was a last man standing deal where he got ate off a car?
I believe so.
Through the stage. Sir Rockin joining us, the god of internet radio.
Yeah, I believe that was the match. I think so.
Yeah, most likely from what we've been seeing on SmackDown, we're possibly going to get another Cody Rhodes versus Rey Mysterio. I don't know if it's going to be knee brace on a pole or Dusty Rhodes on a pole or something along those lines. As we get closer, before we talk draft here, May 2nd, it has already been announced, I believe, by the great one, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, that with Raw being in Miami, this is going to be The Rock having his birthday party there, and of course, his former Rock and Sock Connection buddy, Mick Foley, took to, believe, I don't know if it was Twitter or his own
Twitter.
Facebook, or which one was it? Do you happen to know, Sir Rockin?
Twitter, he was on his Twitter talking about it.
Yeah, and made the great mention of, I wonder if TNA would give me a day to go and enjoy it, because you can't have The Rock without The Sock. And I'm just sitting there going, if you're really trying to get yourself future endeavored champ, I think you may have finally done it.
He was asking for a one-day furlough or something to go to see The Rock's birthday.
Yeah, but Mace, doesn't that make it sound like he's in jail? I need a 24-hour pass to go to the other side.
It's not like he's doing anything TNA right now, except for house shows.
Oh, he is.
Yeah,
working
but he's still
house
on
shows?
Contract, though.
Yeah.
That's the unfortunate side of contract.
Yeah.
I mean, that just is wow. You're not being used on TV, and now you're probably not going to be used on house shows. Metcalf fun.
With the whole McFoley situation, I'm sure if they were doing it like it was an actual birthday party for The Rock done off camera, there'd be no anything from TNA about it. But because it's something they're doing on television, then yeah, you got to get legal involved.
No, but I mean, Ric Flair up here was at the Hall of Fame and was actually on the WWE.com Shawn Michaels video diary.
But that wasn't TV.
Yeah, that wasn't on the actual broadcast version, though. You couldn't see him on there.
No,
that's
I'm guessing.
Difference.
Well, do you think he would? I'm not aware because I haven't seen the full version. It's going to be on the WrestleMania DVD, which comes out May 10th. If he's even visible during that situation.
I highly doubt it.
I'm sure they'll even edit out the woos, as Mace has already known. WWE can do wonderful things with their audio. WWE seems to be jumping the shark here, because the WWE draft, according to several sites, including our own onlineworldofwrestling.com, was scheduled to take place in June. However, I don't understand this one, especially with, your pay-per-views in 2 weeks, or let's have the draft this Monday night in Raleigh, North Carolina. Is this a panic move to either one of you? I guess we'll go to Sir Rockin.
Panic button has been pushed.
So this is a panic button because of Adam Copeland having to retire.
Oh, no doubt about that one. You can clearly see it is. And if you think about it, as you just announced, The Rock's birthday is when?
May 2nd, right after the pay-per-view.
So you can't do it after the pay-per-view. That's why it's this Monday Night on Raw.
Yeah, WWF Forever in our chat room is saying, thanks WWE, I'm heading to SmackDown in Des Moines on May 31st. We need stars. Let's play Forecaster here in the remaining moments. In recent memory, they have done this as a 3-hour broadcast, but obviously now you have tough enough the 8 o'clock Eastern slot, so you're not going to move it, which wouldn't be a bad thing since apparently the ratings have gone down week after week. Why not just move it for the 1 week and put it on at 11 o'clock? I'll go to Mace first. And I apologize if I'm covering stuff that was on Wrestle Talk Radio listeners, but I wasn't a part of that show.
Boo.
If I am, sorry, two-year-old.
Keep going.
Yeah. Give me at least two or three people you would like to see go from Raw to SmackDown and vice versa before they do this all bad. Because this is the thing that irks me. Let me give you a quick preface here, fans. This is before the annual spring cleaning that usually happens. So, to Mace, give me two or three, since the spring cleaning may not happen now until a little while after, give me two or three from Raw to go to SmackDown if you're in control.
I might not be American, but I'm going to plead the fifth on that one because WrestleTalk Radio this Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern is presenting our second annual WTR Mock Draft.
Damn you! I was witness to that last year. Jim Stein and I did the lamest draft board coverage ever. I may be corralled into doing that again. I'll talk with Tim and Sir Rock and later on.
At current time, it is myself and Omega going up against Tim and Spug for the draft this year. However, we don't know who's got which side yet, so we shall see what happens this Sunday night right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
All right, thanks for killing the rest of my show. You rule. Yeah. Well, let me ask it in this former fashion. This is the current WWE pay-per-view schedule, kids. This is how it lays out now. Your next pay-per-view after Extreme Rules is it's another short window. May 22nd, you do Over the Limit, which is going to be based out of Seattle, the Key Arena, which is empty, obviously, since the Seattle Supersonics are now the Oklahoma City Thunder. Would you rather have done this after Over the Limit? You know, let your storylines that you have going to Extreme Rules play out? And now, because after May 22nd, your next event, the Capital Punishment event, which is June 19th out of Washington, D.C., why do it and then have such a short window to set up feuds? We saw that before WrestleMania. Sometimes it works out great, and other times you get bad pay-per-view.
Well, it would be nice, but I don't know. If they want to book a couple of feuds in, like, 2 weeks or something like that, let them. I'm sort of through trying to justify booking decisions because it seems whatever they want to do, they'll do it. It doesn't really matter what us, the fans, want to say.
Yeah, prove positive. Even though Stanford is listening, we wish it would happen. Tell you what. Oh, Tony O is here. Apparently the new, he is saying, the draft was originally slated for June, but I just retired through creative
for
Luke.
We've talked about that before. We've kind of brought that up, yeah.
Yeah, but that's the, you know, that's a shame, but, welcome to the wrestling business where or as the old saying goes, it's like a bee farts in the forest and they could change global climates in Kuala Lumpur or something. So, on that note, as we approach 11:30 Eastern here, if you're listening to our podcast, thank you for being a part of it. If you're listening live, we appreciate you being a part of it. Amazingly enough, this is the episode 98 in this series. I found this out from the big kahuna, Brad Dykens, when he asked me, you know, in a couple episodes, you're going to come up on number 100. You got anything planned? And I'm sitting there going, this is number 98? Really? I didn't know that until I went and looked at the archive on All My World of Wrestling Radio, and I went to click wrestle, and I was going, I've been a part of this since episode 37. Wow. So I've lasted a pretty long time here, and thanks to the listeners.
Didn't you take over at episode 51?
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
So that means when we get to the 100th, it's your 50th in control. Let's celebrate that.
Anyway, we'll play me hanging up on people and doing all that kind of crap. So yeah, that was something that I was very surprised at. Thank WWF forever. Thanks. Said I never wanted this solo. I enjoyed being a part of a group, and I'm happy that I get Spug Mace and people like Kevin Scott and Phil Strom and Jim Barcelone and Anthony Castellano and Sir Rockin and Sarah Nari Dygan, other people to chime in and make this show as great as it is. So I'm very happy for that. We were supposed to have stuff from Cauliflower Alley Club this year, which is going on in Las Vegas right now. Go to Cauliflower Alley Club. If you can Google search that, you can see all the cool events that were going on. Once again, of course, tonight was the iPay-per-view for our friends at Evolve. So go to WWNLive.com. You can find the replay of that, I'm sure. What is this? You wanted to know what happened to the old host. You got into an argument and he was gone. I'm always curious if I can disclose where he is. They I don't died. Even know who that is.
He died. Move on.
Yeah, he
might. I performed a fatality on him, ripped his head out with his spine attached like Sub-Zero.
There you go.
Watch Predator one too many times, my friend. Good lord. Yeah, and if you're tuning in late, Mace is not in the best of moods, so I'm appreciative that he has been here because he done got robbed, which I'm sure will be talked about on the always popular Otaku Talk Live, which is on this network at 9 o'clock Eastern. Which is for fans that are brand new to us in the last few weeks, take them through exactly what Otaku Talk Live is.
Otaku Talk Live is the inmates run the asylum, pretty much. Anything goes since that show is no longer on this network, from what I hear. Think of it as a geek-based anything goes show. We talk anything, and usually midgets and porn somehow get brought into the conversation, especially when we decide to interview Jamal. Boy, that was a real scary interview. But mostly geek speak. We go through geek news, we have a good laugh about it, we crack jokes. We do play a form of Dungeons and Dragons every now and again that will be returning at some point this year. That was one of our most popular shows a couple of years back. We're planning on bringing it back with all new rules, all new characters, and even more craziness. So the only way to really find out what goes on is to tune in 9 p.m. tomorrow night right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Woohoo!
There's also another neat program that shows up from time to time on Saturday nights, especially when Strike Force or UFC have their events. As I joked before with Mace, he is the jack of all trades on this show, on this network. He's here, he's everywhere you could possibly imagine, and he is a part of that, endeavor, which is called From Tapouts to Knockouts, along with Spug, and, I'm now allowed to come back because the last two previous UFC events that I watched with them and Sirak and, the main events ended in draws, so I was saved on the last event that I'm allowed to be a part of. And the next one is scheduled to be not this coming Saturday, but next Saturday, the 30th. Can you give a teaser of who's involved in that UFC event?
I will if you can stall for like 2 seconds while I pull up the fight card. Being prepared, people! It's awesome!
Yeah.
I think that's based out of Toronto, isn't it? The Rogers Center, the former site of WrestleMania 6 and 18?
I believe so. They're in Toronto, I do know that.
Oh, according to WWF in our chat room, it's something called GSP and Jake Shields? What's GSP?
St. Pierre versus Jake Shields.
Oh, okay, that's Stuart St. Pierre.
Your main event for the evening. The undercard does look okay. Spug and I were sort of discussing this the other night. Randy Couture versus Lyoto Machida is another match.
About a retirement issue? Is that true?
Who, Randy or Machida?
Randy Couture. Thought I saw that on a site today that he's possibly hanging him up after that event.
He's retired, come back. He's a Terry Funk.
Oh, yeah. So Terry Funk, Sugar Ray Leonard, and I'm here, I'm gone. It's the last time I'm going to wrestle in UFC in this country.
Pretty much. It's like Tito Ortiz, who actually is on UFC 130, coming out of retirement for probably the 18th time to be in a fight. But this is commentary like you would never hear anywhere else. We're telling you, if you are coming into this, you better make sure you have an open mind and you are not easily offended, because we crack some real heinous jokes. Yeah. We don't hold back. We don't care about, you know, racial sensitivity, keeping things PG. We do anything you would probably hear at a stand-up comedy club after you've had a few drinks.
Yeah, and if...
These are not for the kiddies.
Yeah, and if things are going the way I think they're going to go, we may have some interesting phone calls that night during the show as well. So tune in for that from Tap House to Knockouts Live on the 30th of April.
Yeah, and every Saturday night, midnight-ish, it is the legendary CB Radio, which is... hosted by the man that is speaking, the god of internet radio, Sir Rock, and take some, you heard a commercial of Spug ordering Chinese, that's just one of the many interesting things that can happen on your program.
Yeah, is roast kosher?
Maybe. I don't know.
Alright, well, if it
is. As long as it's not pork.
Well, if it is or it isn't, we're having a roast, but don't tell anyone. This Saturday night, we're roasting somebody. Okay, it's going to be the Godfather of Extreme Rock Parks. But don't tell him, please.
Oh, God.
We're roasting him. Saturday night, midnight-ish, and we're going to have a lot of fun. Tune in.
Yep, and as mentioned by Mace, this Sunday night, there is no pay-per-view, so 10 o'clock Eastern will be the time for WrestleTalk Radio. And as mentioned, they're going to have their annual WWE draft. Looks like I will be possibly joining Sir Rock, and depending on what time I get done with all the bunny stuff with the two children, this will be Abby's fun time to go chasing eggs, hopefully not like the Walmart commercial where the eggs are camouflaged. So that is 10 o'clock Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We are back here each and every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. Many have tried to ruin me. Many are trying to get people to listen to other shows while they're on the air with us. I thank you each and every week to everyone that's listened to this either live on the Wild Talk Radio Network or has gone to Click Wrestle On Demand, which is our official on-demand site, where not only you can listen to us, you can get matches from the greats of the business, or gone to iTunes and downloaded us there. Thanks as always to the big boss of this network, Tim Stein, to Sorokin, Mace, Spug. We wish Kevin Scott the best in his recovery. Thanks to Sean Oliver at kayfabecommentaries.com, the big bosses at onlineworldofwrestling.com, Jason Dedrich, Brad Dykens. Thanks to the Rolling Stones for providing the soundtrack and one of the most used songs in any movie trailer you'll ever see. Sympathy for the Devil taking us out here, and I may not be on 24/7, but I'm way better than your show ever will be.
But what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. Stuck around St. Petersburg when I saw it was a time for a change.